Thank you, Sue, very much. Well, over to Matt now, who'll be leading us in our teaching. Thanks, Matt.
Hi there, good morning, everyone. So today we are looking at another of Paul's prayers. I know some of you have been praying it through this week. And I guess I just wanted to remind us particularly about this one, this prayer in Colossians, that we understand that Paul was praying this while he was in prison. He was in a lockdown of his own, perhaps slightly different some of ours. He could have visitors, it seems, come and see to him. Perhaps it was a bit more like kind of house arrest. But we understand that he might have been like that for about 2 years. And so I don't know, when we think about our own circumstances and some of the experiences that we've had over the last few months, I guess I want to just start by saying I think Paul understands, and actually there's so much that we can learn from him and his life and his writings when we think about what it means for him to be praying under these kinds of conditions. And the first thing to say was he wasn't alone. This letter that he's written to the Colossians, he's written with Timothy. I've got a picture here of an impression of what that would have been like with Timothy, perhaps doing some more of the writing. And we understand as Paul was getting older, he doesn't tend to write the letters. He often adds a bit on the end of the letter in his own hand, but someone's writing things as he's dictating. But they're talking and they're praying together. We see in our prayers for you, we pray. So he's praying together with other believers, him and Timothy praying together for the church in Colossae. And I want to just draw out in the first part of this talk, three things that I've been learning from praying with Paul and Timothy this week. The first one is, I don't know about you, but under these kinds of circumstances, these kind of times that we're in, my thinking can get very small. I can think about what's going on in our home, in our household. You know, remember Paul and Timothy wouldn't have had necessarily kind of the news apps. Things would have come to them by messenger, different from Facebook Messenger, obviously, but our thinking can just get quite small, quite kind of locked to the place where we are. But the first thing that I've been learning from Paul is really how to keep your thinking big. They've been praying for Christians they haven't met, just as Sue was today in praying for folk in Beirut, and when we think of those in Lebanon. Paul and Timothy have been praying for Christians they haven't met. We know that because they say that they've heard of their faith. For this reason, since the day we heard of your faith, of the love of the saints, we've not ceased praying for you. But it's a long way away. We think that they were based in Rome at the time. Colossae's all the way over there, you can see on the map. And they've heard reports, they've been getting news. So I guess the first thing that I've been learning is, how do we keep our thinking big? How do we keep our mind, not just on our own circumstances, though we definitely bring those to God, but in praying for those who not only are near, but are far off? Because Paul and Timothy keep their praying big. They're praying for Christians they haven't yet met. The second thing I've been learning is they keep praying for them. I don't know about you, but sometimes I think I pray for something and I think Father knows what I need. I've prayed. I can leave that with him. And in some ways, perhaps that's a good expression of trust in Father, letting go of control of things that we don't have control over. But actually, there are some things where it seems like the thing to do is to keep praying. Paul and Timothy say, in our prayers for you, we always thank God. There's a sense of this going on. And since the day we've heard it, we've not ceased praying for you. And I don't think that means they're praying for them kind of 24/7 all the time, even in their sleep. I think it just means they keep going. They keep praying. And I think there's something here for us at the moment. What are the things that God is calling us to keep praying about? I was really touched last week in praying for prodigals. There's a sense of keeping praying and persistence in prayer that I think that that I learn from people around us, and also from Paul and Timothy here. The final one that I've been learning about is praying for the good. So I don't know, I think probably on balance, I tend to end up praying for things where I'm asking God for help more perhaps than other things. Father, would you help us with this? Would this go well? But actually, Paul and Timothy, the balance of their prayer seems to be much more focused on praying for the good, that it might increase. So we see that because we know how they're seeing their faith and the love that these believers have for the saints, that they've been bearing fruit among themselves. And then what they pray is that that would increase, that they would be filled with the knowledge of God's will, so that they can lead lives worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him as they bear fruit in every good work and as they grow in the knowledge of God. They seem to be focusing on the good and praying that it would increase. And as they see the salvation that's come to them, as it has in the world, it's come to them too, it erupts in them as they see that faith, that love, and that hope. It erupts in thankfulness. In our prayers for you, we always thank God. And in the Message translation that some of us have been reading this week, there's this sense of it almost erupting in thankfulness as they think about these things. And so what I've been learning from Paul and Timothy is something about what our focus is. If we focus on the things that we're wanting God to do, and it's absolutely right that we bring those to God, it can shape our thinking one way. But Paul and Timothy, Paul, remember, in chains, he's thinking about the good that he sees. He's thinking about what God's doing in the world, even in places that he's not been able to visit and Christians he's not been able to encourage in person. And so I think it's a really good thing to be thinking about. What do we see around that God is doing? What good can we see? I'm really thankful for a whole load of people. There are so many people on this call right now that when I think of you, I thank God. I could start naming names, maybe I won't, or I could. But I thank God for Ian in Sing and what he's been doing recently with moving some things for West. And I thank God for you. I could keep going. There are so many people that as I look at your faces, as I see, as I hear news, people that sometimes I've not been able to see in person in months. And I think of you and it fills my heart with gladness. And I'm so thankful to God for you. And I just think God wants to shape our thinking, shape our praying, and it just gives rise to glory to God for his salvation, for all the things that he's doing in our lives, near and far. I'm going to stop there. We're going to hand over to Julian, who's going, amen. So I'd meant to mention a book that I've been reading that's been helping me with this talk today. It might be one you're interested in. I'll try and hold it up so you can see. So it's A Call to Spiritual Reformation, Priorities from Paul and His Prayers by Don Carson. I can put that in the chat later, but that's a book that I've been finding really helpful. And it's a book all about Paul and Paul and his prayers. So just to recap, Ben, what I was saying from the first part was Paul and Timothy, as they pray, they do things that aren't necessarily what my instinct would be, but just seem to be so good. So there's so much kind of wisdom in what they're doing. They pray for Christians they haven't met, and they keep praying for them. And as they pray for the good that it may increase, it leads to thankfulness. And it seems like those things are shaping them and allowing them to reflect something of God's nature, to reflect his likeness in their praying and in how they think about the time that they're experiencing. In this second part, what I want to do is just to look a bit more about what they pray and what we can learn from that. Move on here. One of the first things that they ask is that the believers there would be filled with the knowledge of God's will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. that they would be filled with the knowledge of God's will. And I don't know about you, but when I think of God's will, sometimes I can think about, does God want me to do this or does God want me to do that? And maybe I've got two choices, or I'm trying to think through kind of big decisions in life. But I think that what Paul and Timothy are talking about here is less this sense of the fork in the road, and more about obedience to what God's shown us, to what he's revealed to us. He's already revealed so much of his nature and his call and purpose to us, that we might be holy, that we might love one another, that we might be seeking justice and truth in his name. And I think in that sense, it's more about following in step with him. The knowledge of God's will is how we know, through wisdom and understanding, in our circumstances, in our day, to keep in step, to walk with God step by step, to obey what he's made known to us. So I think it's a bit more like that. But why? It's not just knowledge for knowledge's sake or obedience for obedience's sake, but it's so we may lead lives worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, as you bear fruit in every good work. That's that love and faith and hope that just kind of erupt, and as we grow in the knowledge of God. And we'll see a little bit later, God is delighted in his people. He fully loves his children. But there's also a sense in which, as we keep in step with him and as we walk with him, we can know his pleasure. And the picture that I've got for this is this one here. This is a picture, for those of you who are dialing in by phone, is an old picture of me as a young boy, I don't know, perhaps a bit older than a toddler. And my dad is mowing the lawn, and I'm next to him mowing the lawn too with a toy lawnmower. And part of me thinks it might be a little bit like this. God is engaged in his purposes in the world, and he is fully delighted with us. And yet there is also a pleasure that comes in seeing and doing things together, to join in with what God's doing. And as we know and we spend time with Father, we know what he's about and we know how to do what he's doing. This is something that came through in the message version of that. So I think it's a bit like this. On the other hand, a little bit like that, more a bit less than this, more like that. I also think it's perhaps a little bit more like this. So this is a picture. There's a risk of going down on a sidetrack here, but this is a picture of an old lawnmower convention. Who knew that such things existed? Now I do from this week, and you do too. But I wonder if it's a bit more like this, because remember, Paul and Timothy are writing not just to individual believers, but to a church family. And this is the sense that we together are engaged in living lives that please God. As we learn from one another, as we do things together, we will bear fruit, these good things from God, the love and that joy, that thankfulness, all these things that erupt, as we do what God has called each of us to do. And we grow in knowing how to do these things as we know God better. So I think in that sense, although it is a bit like us and God, and as we're close to him, we individually know, but there's also a sense of the fact that we learn about how to lead these lives as we do these things together. We bear fruit, not just as individuals, but as a church family, as Christ's body in the world. And through this, we grow in these lives that we live, that are worthy of the Lord. We're keeping in step with him, doing what he's doing. The last bit is that Paul and Timothy pray that we would be made strong, that we would be made strong with all the strength that comes from his glorious power. And that's because he wants us to be enabled. They pray because they want us to have that ability, that capacity to do all that God asks us to do. And I don't know about you, but I can hear this prayer too, about being prepared to endure everything with patience. I feel like there's quite a lot in different ways across our community and beyond that people are having to endure. And God wants us to endure that with patience and with joyful thanksgiving. Now, that could sound like Dory's kind of positive thinking, just keep swimming. But I think that the Message translation kind of puts it that it's not this kind of endurance through gritted teeth, but with the glory strength that God gives. So for some of this at the moment, we do need to just keep swimming, but not through kind of positive thinking or kind of gritting our teeth or something like that on our own, but with the glory strength that God gives. And that comes from something of that joy and that thanksgiving comes from knowing that we're enabled to share in the inheritance of the saints of light. It's about what God has done, because he has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. God has done everything. He's done everything. And we can now join in with what he's doing in the world. But knowing our security, our delight, that he is delighted with us in Christ, that we can therefore endure, be made strong with his power, and joyfully give thanks because of what he's done and is doing in our lives. So I'm going to end just by praying this prayer again for us, with us, over us, and then handing on. In our prayers for you, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for we've heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. You have heard of this hope before in the word of truth, the gospel that has come to you. Just as it is bearing fruit and growing in the whole world, so it has been bearing fruit among yourselves from the day you heard it and truly comprehended the grace of God. This you learn from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant. He is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf, and he has made known to us your love in the Spirit. For this reason, since the day we heard it, we've not ceased praying for you and asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of God's will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you may lead lives worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, as you bear fruit in every good work and as you grow in the knowledge of God. May you be made strong with all the strength that comes from his glorious power, and may you be prepared to endure everything with patience, while joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has enabled you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Amen.
Thanks, Matt. Let's respond to that. God, thank you that we can come to you, Lord, if we've been relying on stuff ourselves, if we have been giving things to you. Whatever our circumstances, God, we can come to you now. So we offer ourselves back to you.